From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns commenced a series of studies in the book of Judges. Following the conquest of Canaan, Israel had forgotten much of what God had done for them, had intermarried with the heathen remaining in the land, and fallen into apostasy by worshiping the false gods of the Canaanites. Ultimately, they fell under the domination of their enemies, precipitating a succession of servitude, repentance, and deliverance, a pattern that continues throughout the book of Judges. At this point in time, Israel is under the rule of Moab, whose king was a wicked man named Eglon. As the people of Israel cried to the Lord for mercy, God raised up Ehud, a left-handed Benjamite, who brought to Eglon a message from God, a message of death. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will introduce a message entitled, Ehud, the Man with the Two-Edged Sword. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Reach of Almighty Grace. The text is Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. Sovereign grace can make strangers into sons, and the Lord here declares his purpose to deal thus with rebels, and make them know what he has done. Beloved friend, the Lord has done this in my case. Has he done the like for you? Then let us join hands and hearts in praising his adorable name. Some of us were so decidedly ungodly that the Lord's word most truly said to our conscience and heart, Ye are not my people. In the house of God, and in our own homes, when we read the Bible, this was the voice of God's Spirit in our soul, Ye are not my people. Truly a sad, condemning voice it was. But now, in the same places, from the same ministry and Scripture, we hear a voice which saith, Ye are the sons of the living God. Can we be grateful enough for this? Is it not wonderful? Does it not give us hope for others? Who is beyond the reach of almighty grace? How can we despair of any, since the Lord has wrought so marvelous a change in us? He who has kept this one great promise will keep every other. Wherefore, let us go forward with songs of adoration and confidence. In order to understand the necessity of salvation, one must first realize the demands of God's law as given to Moses on Mount Sinai in summary form, what we know as the Ten Commandments. When we look at these requirements honestly, we must admit that we cannot keep them. Indeed, if this had been God's final word to mankind, we would all be hopelessly lost. But God spoke again at Calvary, where his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, died in the place of helpless sinners. This was both the demonstration of the ultimate penalty for breaking God's law, death, as well as the glorious revelation of God's grace to those who deserved nothing but his wrath. Understanding the relationship of law and grace is essential to the Christian life. A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns preached an extensive series of messages in which he carefully expounded the Bible's teaching on this vital subject of law and grace. Dr. Cairns then edited and published those sermons in a volume called Chariots of God. Recently, Let the Bible Speak was able to obtain a limited number of copies of that book, and we're now pleased to make them available to our listening audience. The price for a copy of Chariots of God is $10, which includes shipping. To obtain a copy, simply send your check for $10, made out to Let the Bible Speak, to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We expect these copies to sell out quickly, so don't delay. Write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, for your copy of Chariots of God by Alan Cairns.
Now we're reading in Judges chapter 3, from verse 12 to verse 26. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of a cubit length. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bare the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal, and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, Keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly, and the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Then Ehud went forth through the porch, and shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came. And when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, Surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed. And behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them. And behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And he had escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Seirath. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. The lessons of this Bible reading are the lessons that are very frequently to be found emphasized in the book of Judges. Lessons like sin in the lives of God's people always leads to bondage. You read this book of Judges, and you'll find that a people who were at rest, a people who were enjoying the good provision of the Lord, because of sin, worldliness, tolerance of false religion and apostasy, came under discipline, lost out with God. And when God's people lose out with God, you may be sure that they will always come under the tyranny of their enemy. So sin leads to bondage. But thank God there is the equally frequent lesson that confession and prayer lead to pardon and restoration. Here in this church, we very frequently sing the number 26 in our hymn book. I hope we'll always sing it a lot. I love the words, Who is a pardoning God like thee? It's a very scriptural message. Indeed, it was the message of Micah the prophet, Who is like unto thee, a God that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of his people. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is a word of encouragement to wayward believers. And if you're in this meeting tonight as a born-again believer, and distance has come in between you and the Lord. Like Peter, you have been following afar off. You've lost out with God. Gone is the sweetness of the place of prayer. Gone is the usefulness of the time of Bible study. Gone is the power to take a stand for God and the power to witness. It's only a memory that once you were really enjoying the Lord. Tonight you're saved and spoiled for the world, but your backsliding has spoiled your enjoyment of Christ. Then thank God there is the message that if you, like God's people in this book, will confess your sin, there is faithfulness in God to his promise. There is in the blood of Christ the merit whereby God in justice can pardon you, and you can have a total and complete restoration. Whoso hideth or covereth his sin will not prosper. But if you'll confess it, thank God, you'll be rid of it. And then, of course, there is the lesson that God always has his man for the hour. The work of God is very often in a dark and difficult time. It's very often seeming desperate to the people of God. But once God's people begin to pray, they will find that the cause of God is never as desperate as it looks to the men who have forgotten how to pray. God always has his man for the hour. In the case before us, that man was a Benjamite by the name of Ehud. Now, the story of Ehud, I think, is one of daring that has all the elements of a thriller. We have read it. Just refresh your memory of these few verses of Scripture. Eglon, the king of Moab, had joined forces with the children of Ammon and with Amalek, that deadly foe of Israel. Any time you read of Amalek in Scripture, remember you have a people who are so filled with vicious hatred of the people of God that they are a perfect type of the world, of the flesh, and indeed of the devil. And here Eglon took Amalek with him, and together they conquered and they subdued the land. It's very interesting that he made his headquarters in Israel in the city of palm trees, or the city of Jericho. Now just stop for a moment and you'll recollect that Joshua had razed Jericho to the ground. Its walls had fallen flat. He had burned the city with fire. He had placed a curse on any man who would rebuild that city. And indeed, it is noticeable that no Israelite ever did build it for hundreds of years, and God cursed his family, as Joshua had prophesied. But now, though this city for about 60 years has lain in rubble, Eglon comes and he sets up his headquarters there. I don't want to get into what the archaeologists say, but it is interesting that two leading modern archaeologists, having dug around that area, have been fascinated to find in something completely different to all of the same dating that there are the remains of some little buildings amidst all the ruins of Jericho, which they surmise could well be the very buildings that Eglon used as his headquarters at that time. Now, why would he set up his headquarters in that place? Various reasons, I would think. One may be scenic. May sound strange to say that, but believe it or not, that's the most beautiful part of southern Israel. To this day, when you visit there and you get around that area, you do have a lot of attractiveness. From there, down on south to where you have the Dead Sea. I think more likely, however, it would have been strategic. Because right across the Jordan, you had his own kingdom and his troops who were ready to come at a moment's notice and give him reinforcements. But over and above that, you know, I think this was a symbolic gesture. It was really rubbing the noses of the children of Israel in the dust. Jericho, the symbol of Israel's greatness. Jericho, the mark forever on the land of their victory. Jericho that told friend and foe alike that God fought for Israel, that they, while they walked with God, were an unconquerable people. And now right on that very monument to their greatness, Eglon builds his headquarters. And he rubs their noses in the dirt to remind them that they have fallen. They're defeated. They're a subjugated people. Israel indeed was under tribute. That's the meaning of the present that was brought to Eglon. They were under tribute. And the leaders themselves had to bring that tribute. And in their own person, they had to grovel before the foreign tyrant. Then Ehud was raised up of the Lord in answer to prayer to lead the children of Israel. We have read tonight the story of how Ehud and some others brought the tribute money. Having given it, they leave. They get as far as Gilgal. And Ehud turns back, obtains a secret audience with the king, and scares him out of his wits. Man, I'd love to have seen the face of that old wicked wretch when he listened for the message, this secret message from Ehud. And it was, I have a message from God unto thee. And Eglon at that moment knew that the message from God for him was a message of death. Woe to the man whose only message from God is a message of death, doom, and damnation. Woe to the man to whom Almighty God has nothing else to say but death and destruction. You should take that personally, very, very seriously. You have in your possession the Bible, which brings you the message of life. You come to services like this, where you have in song and in sermon presented to you the person and the work of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, the life. You have the invitation to repent and be converted. You have the message that Paul says is the message of reconciliation. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and in his stead we beseech you, be ye reconciled to God. What a message that is. What an invitation that is. What an opportunity it is for every man and woman and child to flee to Christ and be eternally saved. But I want to tell you, my friend, there comes a time when sinners have hardened their hearts against God. When God's book of grace is closed. When God's message of life is finished. And the only thing left for God to speak is the word of judgment, of death, of doom, of destruction, and of outer darkness. Woe to a man who will not have grace, and therefore must have judgment. That's certainly the case with Eglon.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.